You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken, we trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com.
And today is the 12th day of February 2021. We'll be reading Chapter 5 of Holy Priesthood, Volume 2, which talks about the sons of God. So, Kim, are you on?
Yeah.
Would you mind dedicating the show?
Okay. I'm still in my classroom.
Okay.
Right now we'll just dedicate. Okay. Sorry. Okay. I'm distracted half the time because I'm doing other things. Okay. All right. Our Father in heaven, we come before you.
Did you mute yourself? Kim, I can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now? I guess my phone's malfunctioning. I didn't mute myself.
Oh, okay. I can hear you now.
Okay, now?
Yeah.
I wonder what happened. It didn't get muted.
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Take two, retry.
Yep.
Okay. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee this evening and give thee thanks and give thee praise and are thankful for the moments that we're in right now, for the time that we have at this very moment to choose to spend time with Thee and to be uplifted and have higher and deeper understanding for the things that Thou would have us study and understand. We ask Thee to please be with, watch over, and bless the audience, the listening audience, as well as our families. And we just like to take a moment and just breathe, Father, and ask that You would please speak to our hearts and speak to our minds to the things that Thou would have us know, that You would have us do at this time, so that we are in the right place at the right time and doing Thy work. Lord, we know that there are things in our lives that stop us from doing what we feel like You need us to do, Lord, and we are sorry for that, and we hope that we can have an enlightening and an open mind and be ready to just push past the boundaries that we have been given here on this earth to be able to come unto Thee, Lord, more fully and to be able to worship You with all of our mind, body, and soul that we know that we can do, Lord. And these things we pray for and give Thee praise for in Your name, even Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Kim.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I do not want to be here today at all, so I'm pushing past the boundaries to do the show that I've committed to do. I'm still tired. I just want to sleep and eat and sleep. So we'll just get into the reading, and it's pages 42 through 49 for anybody who is reading along today at Holy Priesthood Volume 2, which you can find at OgdenCrowd.com. There's something in the house that is bothering me to the point where it makes it hard for me to breathe downstairs, and I don't know what it is. It's like dust or something. Are you there?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it hay? Probably.
I don't know. That. Hey, stop, Arius. Don't do that. He's like hitting the glass with his foot for some reason. I don't know what he's doing. Anyway, it might be hay. I don't know what it is. All I know is if I'm upstairs, I'm fine. As soon as I come downstairs, I can hardly open my eyes, and I can hardly breathe. And it makes it hard to do these radio shows, let alone be downstairs. So if you want to get a hotel tonight, let's do that, because I can't deal with this. I don't even know.
Okay, well, we can talk about it after your radio show's all done.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Okay, let me see if I can push through this. What a power to become the sons of God, to be adopted into the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have Him as our Father, to be one with Him as He is one with His Father. And that all happens because He paid for our sins in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when we become His disciples, we become His children. He pays for us with the price of His own blood, and He becomes our Father. That's how in the Book of Mormon He's called the Father and the Son. A lot of people don't understand that, but that's how that works. Even though He has a Father and there's a Father above Him, Revelation chapter 1, where it says, Jesus Christ hath made us kings and priests unto God. That's the Father of Jesus Christ. And to His Father, who is above that. And they are Jesus Christ, Michael, Jehovah. So we're getting, I've already gone into that a lot. And there's false doctrines being taught about that at this time. And they contradict Ether chapter 3. And well, I'll talk about that later on, because I get into these things that I've talked about over and over and over again and why I'm saying what I'm saying. But there's some more interesting things later on, and I'll bring it back to that in a minute. the scriptures mention both the sons of God and the sons of men. And apparently there is a difference, but the distinction is sometimes not very clear. By a careful examination of various scriptures, this can be clarified. For example, Paul the Apostle said there was a difference between a father of the flesh and a father of the spirit. Quote, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth," or corrects, "and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening," or correction, "God dealeth with you as a son. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth or corrects not? But if ye will be without correction, therefore all are and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which have corrected us, and we have gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" And that's in Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 12, verses 6 through 9. Jesus also clarified this subject, quote, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." John chapter 3, verse 6. Hi, Arius. I'm reading. Would you like your camera?
Here you go.
You're going to get hurt. He's standing on his toy car. Actually, I think it's Amberly's toy car. Here, take it. Here you go. Okay. And to Nicodemus, he said that we must be born again. This meant that we must do something or have something in order to deserve that title of Son of God. Page 43. Moroni also indicated that when he wrote, quote, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. That ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure." Amen. Moroni chapter 7, verse 48 in the Book of Mormon. Those few, then, who are the true followers of Jesus Christ may become the sons of God, but to be a true follower or disciple, it requires Christ's participation. What, Arius? What? Oh, okay. Thank you for showing me that. "But verily, verily, I say unto you..." What? Kim? He needs my undying attention today. Even though I've been with him all day long.
He's all dad. Dad.
Yeah. He's so silly. Oh, okay, he's been sidetracked by the Burton Ernie on the TV, so... Oh, never mind, here he comes again. What do you want? What? Don't you want to listen to me read scriptures and quotes?
He's like, no, Dad. No, I'm not.
"But verily, verily, I say unto you, that as many as receive me, to them will I give power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on my name." Doctrine and Covenants, section 11, verse 30. And again, "But to as many as receive me gave I power to become my sons, and even so will I give unto as many as will receive me power to become my sons." Doctrine and Covenants, section 39, verse 4. Not only does this power make a person one of the sons of God, but it also enables him to do many miracles. I came unto mine own, and mine own received me not, but unto as many as received me gave I power to do many miracles, and to become the sons of God, and even unto them that believed on my name gave I power to obtain eternal life. Doctrine and Covenants, section 45, verse 8. It is now somewhat more clear that those who receive Christ are born again and become his true followers, and can receive power to become the sons of God, and also the power to do many miracles. Not only do they take the name of Jesus Christ, they also have his power. A broad distinction between the sons of God and the sons of men was described by Dr. Cleon Skousen when he said that the sons of God are those who receive the priesthood, while the sons of man were not worthy of priesthood. When Noah was 492 years old, Shem was born. Although Shem was the younger of the two, he was later selected as Noah's first heir to the priesthood. So Japheth was the oldest, but Shem was the second, and then Ham was the third. And even though Shem was the second born, Shem was the one that became the king of righteousness, or Melchizedek. So, and like, I know some people think that Jesus Christ was some kind of incarnation of Melchizedek was the incarnation of Jesus Christ in the prior probation. That's not true. That actually does contradict Ether chapter 3. During the time of Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, Melchizedek was on the earth. Melchizedek was on the earth in that time, but the brother of Jared was also on the earth at that time, and Jesus is in the spirit body talking to Mohanre Moriankamer, the brother of Jared, and the brother of Jared is hearing him and seeing him in the spirit, and he says, never Jesus. Says, this is my spirit body. This is what I'll look like when I come in the meridian of time. Never have I showed myself anyone before this point. So, like, not only is Jesus not Jehovah, because Jehovah appeared to many before the flood and after the flood in a body of flesh, but Jesus and Melchizedek aren't the same person either, even though they have the same title of one was the king of righteousness and one is the prince of righteousness. Yeah, and it's just wild speculation that doesn't take into account scripture when people start spouting off that Jesus and Melchizedek are the same person, because they're not. Melchizedek is Shem, the son of Noah. The title Melchizedek means king of righteousness. It's not his name. So, anyway. What are you doing, Arius? What are you doing? Are you being a silly mister? Hi. He's so silly. You're going to spill it. Be careful. Anyway, okay. He's sitting on the cedar chest, looking out the front window, waiting for the other kids to get home.
It's his little perch.
I know. It's so funny. He's like, this is where I sit when I want to look out the window. All right. Although Shem was the younger of the two, meaning Japheth and Shem, he was later selected as Noah's first heir to the priesthood. 8 years later, when Noah was 500 years old, Ham was born. The scripture specifically states that Japheth and Shem had the same mother. This implies that Ham had a different mother and was therefore only a half-brother of Shem and Japheth, which is true. Oh, that's true. These three sons were born at a time when apostasy and moral disintegration had engulfed the whole earth. Violence, murder, war, theft, rapine, fraud, and graft characterized civilization everywhere. According to the Lord, this society of mankind during the dispensation of Noah was worse than anything before or since, worse than Babylon, where they offered human sacrifices, worse than Greece, where they subjected children to degenerate orgies, worse than Sodom, worse than Gomorrah. In fact, Arius, come here. Come here. He's hiding from me now. In fact, the Lord declared, among all the workmanship of mine hands, there has not been so great wickedness as that which prevailed in this age of which we are speaking. It was a day when the power of Satan was upon all the face of the earth. So successful was Satan that the scriptures, hold on, Arius, come here. Come here. Arius. Oh my gosh. Like, there's not many places this kid can run to. But he finds the only place that I can't see him. And then he goes there and he bangs on things and I have no idea what he's doing. But now I gotta get out of my chair. What are you doing? You don't go over there. Just stay over here and play with your car. Right there. Okay. No, I don't want to play with your car. You play with your car. Is it boom boom? Okay. See if I can get back where I was before. It was a day when the power of Satan was upon all the face of the earth. So successful was Satan that the scriptures say that the earth seemed veiled with a terrible chain of darkness. And Lucifer, I hate that. His title, Lucifer, was taken from him. And you should not call him Lucifer anymore. That authority that he had, he lost in his rebellion. And he became Satan. So whenever I see Lucifer, I don't care what scripture or what quote, I'm going to use the word Satan, because that's what he became. That's his new title and his new role, Hasatan. So, and Satan looked up and laughed, and his angels rejoiced. But in spite of this environment, Noah succeeded in surrounding his three sons with the mantle of the gospel, and the scriptures say they hearkened unto the Lord and gave heed. And they were called the sons of God. This title, sons of God, is reserved for those who receive the priesthood. Therefore, we know that these three sons were all honored with divine callings. Ham's calling to the priesthood is specifically mentioned by Abraham, and Shem established the line through which the priesthood descended to all the post-diluvian patriarchs. That means after the flood. Antediluvian is before the flood. Post-diluvian is after the flood. All three sons are described as having walked with God. When these three sons matured and married, they each had daughters born unto them. Apparently, no male offspring were born to any of them until after the flood. These daughters finally grew up, and no doubt Japheth, Shem, and Ham labored diligently to impress upon their minds the importance of the Lord's plan for happy living. But no matter how successful they might have been in getting them to accept the basic doctrines, there was one place where they failed completely. None of these men could dissuade their daughters from marrying outside of the church. In fact, it may have been that there were no righteous men whom they could have married. In any event, all these daughters eventually rebelled against the warnings of their parents and pleadings of Noah and took unto themselves husbands among the wicked. So I might just be really screwed up in my thinking about this, but like if this is after the flood, where are they finding wicked men who are not of the church to be their husbands? I don't get it. Were there other survivors? Was the flood a local event instead of a worldwide event? And I believe it was a worldwide event. There's plenty of geological evidence, actually, that's out there for people to study and understand. But there is some evidence of a local event as well. And I don't know. And I don't care. Like, it's all interesting, but I think that we get off into the weeds when we worry about things that don't matter to us. And the reason they don't matter to me is because it doesn't have anything to do with Zion's redemption. So, yeah, I'll ask the question, and if I find the answer, then great. And if I find it and I'm interested enough to know that that what I believe is correct, then I will ask God if it's correct, if what I believe is correct, and get confirmation so I can stand upon the rock of revelation. However, there's a lot of things that don't matter. And I don't care because it doesn't have to do with the task at hand. It's interesting to know, but it adds no value to my experience with God or with His truth and His gospel. So I try not to get distracted by those things, but it is a good question. Like, if Noah and his wife and then his three sons and their wives were the ones that were the survivors, then where were all of these unrighteous men coming from in the church? Arius, what do you want? Kim? He needs a haircut.
Yes, he does. Like a
haircut. Like a haircut from a professional. Are you a professional,
like
Kim? Yeah. What? You can't drink that. That is for big daddies, not little babies. He's trying to drink. He wants to drink my energy drink.
Or sodas or anything, really.
Anything that Dad drinks, he wants some of. It's a good thing I don't drink beer. Okay, I got a Diet Pepsi. Would you like have some of this? Oh my gosh. He's dancing around with this big grin on his face because he sees me holding the drink. Why don't you go get that drink right there? And bring it here. Oh my gosh. Kim.
What?
Why do they have to grow up? Oh yeah, bring it. No. Bring the straw. Go get the straw. Get the straw. He's so smart. Thank you. Okay, I will open this for you, and you can have some of it. Because I am a bad dad. Ugh. Giving my baby soda.
Okay.
Okay, there you go. Don't spill it.
All the right things, and it still doesn't turn out right.
Kim.
What?
You should see the face that he makes. He is so happy. He can hardly contain himself. Oh, man. All right. Let's continue reading. Hopefully I can do that. Hopefully Arius will let me do that. We're actually 80% done with the reading today, so it's going along quicker than I thought it would. Oh, let's see here. In any event, all of these daughters eventually rebelled against the warning of their parents and pleadings of Noah, and took unto themselves husbands among the wicked. Immediately the word of the Lord came unto Noah, the daughters of thy sons have sold themselves, for behold, my anger is kindled against them and the sons of men, for they will not hearken to my voice. Oh, I think that this happened before the flood. I think that's what it's talking about here. This isn't after the flood. This is before the flood. The sons of men referred to the wicked of that generation who rejected the gospel and therefore were not worthy of the priesthood, though through which they could become the sons of God. All of this occurred right at the time when Noah was doing his utmost to inspire a spirit of repentance among the people. Sometime before, when he was 480 years old, Noah had been called on a 120-year mission to preach a message of repent or perish to the depraved and licentious inhabitants of the earth. So important was this mission that the Lord had personally laid his hands upon the head of Noah and reaffirmed the priesthood in him. And that all that means, all that he was, anybody who receives the fullness of the priesthood has to have the Father himself lay his physical hands upon their physical head. That's why in the scriptures, whenever it talks about like, and so-and-so received the priesthood from so-and-so, and so-and-so received the priesthood from so-and-so, and then it'll say, and so-and-so received the priesthood from God, all it means is that person received the priesthood from a mortal man, exemplified that priesthood to the point where God gave him the fullness of the priesthood, which it can only be given on by the laying on of hands by the Father himself. Here, got this? So when Noah had God's hands upon his head, he received the fullness of the priesthood. Now, Noah couldn't give it to anybody else. In 2003, I had the Father lay his hands upon my head and give me the fullness of the priesthood. I can't give that to somebody else. All I can do is give people my line of authority, and if they are obedient and if it is right in the eyes of God, the time will come when they will have the Father lay his hands upon their head. That's how that works. And the whole thing with section 124 in the Doctrine and Covenants, God wanted to redeem Zion. And he wanted to give the fullness of the priesthood to his children on the earth, which had not yet been restored to the church, Joseph Smith or anyone else. If they were obedient, they would have built a temple whereby the Father or the Most High could come dwell therein, that he might restore that which was lost unto you, speaking of the earth, or that which was taken away, even the fullness of the priesthood. It is not the Melchizedek priesthood. These people that teach that the Melchizedek priesthood was taken off the earth do not know what they are talking about. They are missing a couple of puzzle pieces, and they assume that they have all the whole picture, and so they push this false idea that Melchizedek priesthood was taken off the earth. Okay, if that's true, how are these other people seeing God? Joseph Smith only saw God in a vision. The first vision was a vision. It wasn't an actual experience. How did I have the Father lay his hands upon my head if I did not have the Melchizedek priesthood Because you cannot have a personal visitation by the Father or the Son without the Melchizedek priesthood. It has to be restored. You can have a vision, you can have a dream, you can have an out-of-body experience, but in the flesh, it ain't happening. When you have the whole picture and these people make these arguments, you know that they don't work because you have the whole picture. Now, I don't know if I have the whole picture, but I have enough to know that I have the Melchizedek priesthood and that God the Father placed his hands upon my head and gave me the fullness of the priesthood. And that would not have happened if I did not have the Melchizedek priesthood. So when people are like, the priesthood has to be restored again, because they misinterpret what Jesus is saying in section 124. Here you go. Here. Okay, go make a diaper dirty. Oh my gosh. We have a soda pop addict. Kim, why aren't you coming home yet?
I am entering grades into the grade book.
Yeah, but you got off like a half an hour ago, and you should be home.
And I am still entering the grade
book. You see how it is.
You find the kid's name, you type the number, you hit enter, you switch the paper. You find the kid's name, you type in the number, you hit enter, you switch the paper.
Isn't that why you have specials?
Uh-huh, it is.
So you don't have to do this on your free time?
Oh, but I have had to.
All right, I think we're at 30% before, because now we're at 45%. I thought we were at 80%. So let me get into the reading some more, because apparently I need bifocals. At least that's what the eye doctor says, and I believe him now. Let's see. So important was the mission that the Lord had personally laid his hands upon the head of Noah and reaffirmed the priesthood in him. The scripture says, "And the Lord ordained Noah after his own order and commanded him that he should go forth and declare his gospel unto the children of men, even as it was given unto Enoch." And that is in the first 2,000 years, pages 202. Through 202. And I think that's Bruce R. McConkie, but I'm not sure. Arius! Kim?
No.
Yeah. No. Arius! What did you do with the soda? Where did it go?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. There, go find it. Oh. Did I tell you I don't want to be here today? I mean, I love all of this. This is all fascinating. I don't want to be doing the radio show today. I don't know what it is. I'm irritated. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I don't feel good. I am whiny. I want my wife to come home. I want my kids to come home so they can watch Arius.
I asked you if you wanted to do a hotel. You said no. And I said, okay, then I'm doing all my work.
That doesn't mean I don't want you to come home. Well, at least you called in, and I'm grateful for that.
You're welcome.
So, I'm happy when you call in. Then you get to hear me whine, and the audience gets to hear me whine. Okay, I'm sorry, audience. I would love to hire somebody to do my job. That would be great. That I wouldn't have to do it, because I really don't want to do this. I like to study on my own. But when I don't do this, and God has told me to be bold with my witness and to teach the people and all of this stuff, when I don't do it, I feel this incredible guilt. And then I get burnt out of doing it, and I don't want to do it. And I know Satan doesn't want me to do it. So I'm like, oh, fine, I'll do it. You know, maybe it wouldn't be so bad if I didn't work the equivalent of 2 full-time jobs every week and then do this an extra 10 hours a week. So, anyway. Joseph and Sidney narrowed the distinction between the two types of sons as recorded in the 76th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, showing that being a son of God requires more than merely receiving priesthood. And again, we bear record, for we saw and heard that this is the testimony of the gospel of Christ concerning them who shall come forth in the resurrection of the just. They are they who receive the testimony of Jesus and believe on his name and were baptized after the manner of his burial, being buried in the water in his name, and this according to the commandment which he has given, that by keeping the commandments they might be washed and cleansed from all their sins and receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands of him who is ordained and sealed unto this power. And whosoever come by faith and are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which the Father sheds forth upon all those who are just and true, they are they who are the church of the firstborn. They are they unto whose hands the Father has given all things. They are they who are priests and kings, who receive the fullness and the glory of his fullness and of his glory, and are priests of the Most High after the order of Melchizedek, which was after the order of Enoch, which was after the order of the only begotten Son. Hold on here. Excuse me. Oh, live radio is so fun. I think the kids are home. Arius, are the kids home? Is Olivia out there? Is Emmett out there? What? Can you hear the stupid dog? Kim?
No.
Good. She drives me nuts. I hate puppies. I know they're cute. They're such a pain in the butt. And this one is loud. She pees all over everything. Oh, I can't stand it. We need to get a better carpet cleaner, too.
A better what?
Carpet cleaner.
Okay.
Because I don't think the kids are, like, doing a good job cleaning up the messes that she makes.
That's why she's not allowed in there. And that's why I spent 3 hours last weekend cleaning it.
I know.
And that's why I wanted to leave, so I didn't have to go do that this weekend.
Well, I have to go to work, so. All right, let me read some more. Wherefore, as it is written, they are God's, even the sons of God. Wherefore, all things are theirs, whether life or death, or things present or things to come, all are theirs, and they are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And the Arius, get down. You're going to hurt yourself. Sit down. And they shall overcome all things. Doctrine and Covenant, section 76, verse 50 through 60, page 47. In the following chapter of the book, Patriarchal Order of Marriage, we will see that the only men who become the sons of, or who become gods, even the sons of God, are those who enter into polygamy. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourse, is volume 11, page 269. Oh, I could go on and on and on about this subject, but I'm not going to. It is required, according to the vision that I was shown, that one man being filled up to the Holy, by the Holy Spirit of promise to one female is all that it takes for exaltation to take place. But because there are many more females who are elect and qualify for the higher blessings, God allows one man to be sealed to multiple women so that they can receive their higher blessings. That's what this is all about. And those who fight against polygamy are actually fighting against God and against his instructions that he gave us in the Torah, where he never said polygamy was a wicked and horrible thing. He gave instructions on when you had to live it and how you must live it in the Torah. Now, there is a right way and a wrong way to live polygamy, oral celestial marriage. But the whole reason why it's even a thing is because of the sealing bonds between the man and the woman, and the fact that there are many more daughters of God than there are sons of God. There are many more elect who qualify for the higher blessings who are female than there are male. But there has to be a one-to-one ratio between sealings in a perfect world, but that doesn't exist. Because of free agency, because of the war in heaven, and other reasons. So it's really a mercy that God allows the women to be sealed to one man. And that's why Joseph Smith was sealed to women eternally. They were married to men who were not worthy of higher blessings, but the women were. This all has to do with the law of adoption and a whole bunch of other stuff. Oh my goodness. Arius had a blowout, and I don't know what to do about that, but I got to get off the call, and I will get back on as soon as I can, but I'm going to hang up, so I'll be back. I'll be back right away. If you listen to the iTunes, I'll be back right away. I might be gone for 20 minutes if you're listening live, but it'll edit it all out. So I got to go. Bye. Okay, well, I got that taken care of, so he's good now. My wife is no longer on the call because she called into my phone line, and I merged her into the call, so she'll have to either call me back or whatever. She's busy anyway, so I'm just going to push through this. We're 61% through the reading for today. Those faithful few who keep the commandments and are baptized to receive the Holy Ghost and are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise become the sons of God. They are promised to become members of the Church of the Firstborn, to receive all things, to overcome all things, to become priests and kings, and to receive a fullness of his glory. At this point, then, men finally become adopted into the family of God, the Father and Jesus Christ, and become one with them, as the DNC states, quote. And let me just say, there is both matriarchal priesthood and patriarchal priesthood. Women become queens and priestesses through the matriarchal priesthood, which was restored to the earth and has been restored again. This isn't just about Heavenly Father and Heavenly Son and Heavenly us men getting heavenly priesthood and not having anything to do with women. This is not, women are second class citizens either. There is a matriarchal priesthood, and women are exalted in that priesthood that they hold, and they become queens and priestesses in that priesthood. But getting back to the scripture that we're going to read, Doctrine and Covenants, it states, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is crucified for the sins of the world, even as many as will believe on my name, that they may become the sons of God, even one in me as I am one in the Father, as the Father is one in me, that we may be one. Doctrine and Covenants, section 35, verse 2. John Taylor also commented on his grand experience of being one in that great family. Quote, hence this principle is given to men to lead them in the paths of life, to instruct and prepare them for that celestial glory where God the Father dwells, and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and those of the holy priesthood who have lived before in all ages, who exist now and who will exist throughout the eternities that are to come. It places us in relationship to all these beings, and we feel that we are one with God, one with Jesus, one with the ancient apostles, prophets, and patriarchs, one with the men of God, that they have the holy priesthood in the different ages of time, and expect to be one with them in the eternal worlds. Journal of Discourses, volume 19, pages 78 and 79. We're on page 48, so we've got two pages left in this chapter. Hold on. Where's Emmett? Go tell him to come here. I don't care. My daughter is showing me her Valentine's Day candy that she got from school. Share it with your brother. Okay. Yeah, just give it to him. Or give him a different sucker or something. Anyway. The work of the holy priesthood extends beyond mortality into the family of God. That family will consist only of those sons of God who are prophets, apostles, and patriarchs from all ages. But we should all become prophets. So, I don't know. I think that there's, like I was talking about before, like people have parts of the puzzle and they think they have the whole picture and they don't. I think that's what's going on here. But priesthood work continues to exist among them even after there is a veil between mortal and immortal worlds. President John Taylor stated, we cannot do anything of ourselves unless aided by the Spirit of God. We are in communion with not only the prophets and apostles who lived anciently, but with our brother Joseph and Brigham Young and Heber C. Kimball and brother George Albert Smith and others who held the holy priesthood and have passed away and are operating with them in behalf of fallen humanity, in behalf of people who live now on the earth and the myriads of dead who have left us. We are engaged in a work that nothing but the combined actions of the priesthood on the earth and in the heavens can bring about. Journal of Discourses, volume 19, page 137. The prophet Joseph Smith expressed the same concept. The spirits of the just are exalted to greater and more glorious work. Hence, they are blessed in their departure to the world of spirits. Enveloped in flaming fire, they are not far from us and know and understand our thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and are often pained therewith. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 326. In 1889, Wilford Woodruff was seeking greater understanding regarding some serious difficulties the church was passing through. The subsequent revelation he received described the nearness of heavenly hosts to here in mortality. Quote, and this is a revelation that Wilford Woodruff received in 1889. I, Jesus, the Savior of the world, am in your midst. I am your advocate with the Father. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Pray always and faint not. Exercise faith in the Lord and in the promises of God. Be valiant in the testimony of Jesus Christ. The eyes of the Lord and the heavenly hosts are watching over you and your acts. Therefore, where did Emmett go? Okay, I told him to take that out with the trash that he just took out. So, anyway. Therefore, be faithful until I come. Message of the First Presidency, Clark, Volume 3, page 175 and 176. There was actually a number of revelations that were given between the 1880 and 1890, which the church doesn't publish. They did, and then they didn't. And they try to hide things because they don't want you to know about them because Babylonian businessmen have hijacked the church. It's unfortunate, but true. Anyway, even before we venture into the spirit world, the family of the faithful few will always have occasion to meet together. When the last of all the nations on the earth has been destroyed, see Doctrine and Covenant, section 87, verse 6. Then there will be a new inauguration, and Jesus Christ will be president and king of this world, beginning his millennial reign on earth. The sons of God will meet together and celebrate his election. Jesus said, marvel not, for the hour cometh that I will drink of the fruit of the vine with you on the earth, and with Moroni and Elias and John the Baptist, Elijah, Joseph, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, Michael, Peter, James, and John, and all those whom my Father hath given me out of the world. Therefore, lift up your hearts and rejoice, and be faithful until I come. And ye shall be caught up, that where I am, ye shall be also. Amen. See Doctrine and Covenant, section 27, verses 5 through 18. The prophet Joseph Smith also said, while in conversation with Judge Adams during the evening, I said, Christ and the resurrected saints will reign over the earth during the 1,000 years. They will not probably dwell upon the earth, but will visit it when they please and when it is necessary to govern it. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 268. I can't breathe, because this house needs to be cleaned. Do you think I'm joking? Do you? 12-year-old is standing here watching me choke to death, and with a smile on her face like, oh, he's joking. Yeah, I'm joking on my radio show about how the house needs to be cleaned, Lydia. Oh, my gosh. We have a goat, two mama goats, and a baby goat in the basement, because it's too cold outside at night for the baby goat to be outside. And we have a mama goat and a baby goat in the garage. And the extra hay and stuff I don't know if it's bothering me or if it's the fact that the stupid dog keeps being in my living room. You know, like, I don't understand why we don't have, like, why didn't, like, I'm sorry, I'm going to complain a little bit. We moved into this farm a year ago in November. My wife wants to have all of these animals that we didn't have a place for them to be, but she still got them. And I work 60 to 70 hours a week, every week. And then I do this show for 10 hours. And then I'm on other shows and other programs as well. And I don't have time to have a farm. But if I stop working, then we can't afford the things that we need to do. So, and then I've got these lazy kids who, unless you are down their throat, like instructing every little thing that they do, they won't do anything at all. And they'll just make huge messes. Which makes me want to stay at work even more because I don't even want to deal with it. And I know I shouldn't complain on the program, but my life is intertwined with what I'm doing. So. Through the priesthood power, the sons of God will become part of the family of God in Christ. And I just got to say this too. I don't want to live on a farm. I want to live in the city in a condo or a small townhouse. I was fine. When we lived in Spanish Fork, I was completely happy. I didn't have a big yard to take care of. You know, I did work a lot, but I didn't have to worry about a bunch of stuff. And now we live on this farm and we've got 10 acres. I'm like, I can't deal with just all of it. It's just too much for me. But this is what God gave us, and I feel blessed that he did that. But at the same time, I don't want these blessings because I can't deal with it. And I feel like I need to just get a fifth wheel and live in it and just run away and not allow my kids to be in there that make the massive messes that they make all the time. And don't put things away and don't put lids on milk and put milk back in the fridge and do all the things that they do or don't do and go hide in the toilet. Go get Emmett out of the bathroom. He's been in there for like 30 minutes. Through priesthood power, the sons of God will become part of the family of God and Christ will and Christ, because they will have proved themselves worthy to dwell in the family, in that family kingdom forever and ever. Anyway, the next chapter is Patriarchal Order of Marriage, and we'll talk about that probably on Monday, unless something happens. But I'll try to be on Monday to talk about that. And I don't care if people call me. I'm not taking phone calls today. So sorry I have a bad attitude. I don't know what to say. I don't even know what to do. I just, I wish I wasn't so tired and it wasn't Friday. I'd just go back to work and leave this whole mess. But I'm exhausted still, even though I've had two nights off. Because I couldn't make it through the last. I should have worked Thursday, but I couldn't. And I'm taking tonight off because tonight at sundown is the Sabbath. And, I'll be back to work tomorrow and then Sunday after church and then endure to the end, I guess. I got to deal with this. These kids that I've got that like to make these massive messes and don't want to clean up after themselves ever. And these animals that we didn't have a place for them to be. And I don't have the money to buy a barn. You know, but we had to have them because we've got to prepare for whatever. Like, at this point, I don't even care. I just don't care. You know, after you starve for 3 days, and I have gone without food twice for 30 days. After the third day, well, for me anyway, of not having any food at all, I wasn't hungry anymore. I was just tired. And after 30 days, like, I couldn't even eat anything except for broth. So, I don't know. I'm just going to leave it at that. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry I'm not better at doing what I'm supposed to do, but I'm trying. So, take care, everyone. God bless and goodbye.